Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My next guest is one of my favorite state senators, none other than Chris Larson. How you doing, Senator Larson?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Earl?
I'm doing just fine, man. I've been missing you. Haven't had you on for a while. We've got to remedy that because there's so much going on. You guys are back in business. You had a long hiatus, and so what's going on up in Madison right now?
Not good things right now, unfortunately. We've only had one session day other than where everybody got sworn in, and it was probably the smallest schedule we've had, where they just passed a few referendums to put on the ballot in April. There's going to be three questions, and they're just 100% political, just the Republicans trying to be able to tilt things in their favor for the Supreme Court race, which, you know, I'm sure you and your listeners know is wildly important. So they're trying to gin up support for that instead of actually doing the work that the people of Wisconsin need, right? And this is at a time we have $7 billion in surplus. You could fully fund our schools again. You could restore the loss to local revenues to make sure that local government can actually function the way that it's supposed to and still have enough left over for a tax cut. But instead, right now, they push these referendum questions, and I don't know if a lot of people know about them, but they'll see them on their ballot this April.
And Senator Larson, can you – this is a difficult lift, but can you explain to me why we still, in the state of Wisconsin, medical marijuana that is life-saving, that we can't get – people to understand, man, what is your issue? How can you not approve medical marijuana? What is wrong with you? Well, maybe what they need is some medical marijuana. And
the people who are most against it are the people who can probably benefit the most by having this stuff illegal, right? just to be like, you know, the effects are less than alcohol. Over half the other states have figured this out, and we are one of the last dozen or so states that have done nothing, where you cannot even get medical with a prescription. And they're still talking around the edges of saying, oh, gosh, you know, if we did medical, then, you know, we want to be very specific about what it's for, you know. And it's just ludicrous that that's the idea of what they think they should be doing with the power that they've illegitimately given themselves through gerrymandering, right, that they're going to have oversight over who they think should be allowed to have medical marijuana or who should be able to use marijuana at all. And, you know, for most other states, this is not a new thing. You know, you can just legalize it, regulate it like alcohol. We've done it. We've been doing it since Prohibition ended, almost 100 years ago now. So we're okay. Maybe we should end the Prohibition on this now, too.
You know, Senator Larson, I've always said I could never do your job because I couldn't sit down with people who, you know, they've got some real issues. I mean, just like the guy right now, Lemieux or whatever his name is, who says anybody who has a felony record shouldn't be able to have a vicious dog. I mean, isn't there something else going on of importance, Senator Larson, that you guys could be working on rather than to bring something idiotic and moronic up? I mean, I sometimes wonder if they see who can come up with the most moronic ideas on the state level, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know you're not a Fox News watcher, neither am I, but I think that's where they take their direction, and that is the world that they think that we live in, where they think that the biggest problem right now is that they think the government agents are coming to get their gas stove,
right.
that they are worried about, you know, rows of bandits roaming down the street with vicious dogs, you know, like just picturing people out of like in bad 80s movie, like you know, Police Academy, where they're all smoking weed and having vicious dogs, and everyone's clutching their children and rushing inside. And it's like, that's okay. That's not the world we live in. The one that we live in is the one where they are underfunding education. Where right now we are at we are $3,000 per student lower than if we would have kept pace with the average increase and pace with inflation from the last 15 years, right? Where we are in a situation where just about every community in the state has had to pass a referendum to make up for the loss because Republicans are artificially strangling local government from being able to hire firefighters, police, public safety workers, and municipal workers to plow the streets, right? And on top of that, they have issued the largest tax cuts. I think they're over $22 billion in tax cuts, mostly favoring the rich. So they're starving what locals need. You know, that's what they've done. And if you look at the problems that we're dealing with, where we still have opioid crisis they have not fully addressed, you are still dealing with shooting deaths because of an oversaturation of guns without having proper training and proper keeping it out of the hands of people who are going to do harm based off of what the science says. We have among the highest incarceration rates in the country, so locking up people is not helping. And, of course, Wisconsin has the highest rate of incarceration for black males in the country. We're 1 in 36 black males are incarcerated in our state. Like these problems, the ones that we're hearing about, the ones that people are tapped into, they're not addressing these, right? Instead, they're pushing these strange referendum questions of trying to scapegoat and saying people who are that trying to pretend that people who are getting public benefits are bilking the system at the same time as, you know, people like Diane Hendricks, who funds their campaigns, hasn't paid taxes in most years in the last decade.
Senator Larson, they're still focusing on people who get SNAP benefits or food stamps. I mean, that has been just about pared down to one of the lowest in, you know, across the nation, what we give for people, and yet as if that's a big issue. But I wanted to ask you about, again, Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, and the fact that we can't get our fair share of what we deserve in order to keep the city and the county solvent. And you hear Robin Voss and others who have a mentality that we want to make sure that the city and the county can't survive. It's intentional. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm glad you're saying that, Earl. I'm glad you're pointing that out, because I think that there's still some folks who look at the actions of what Republicans have been doing for decades, and you've watched it, and you've been speaking on it, and thank you for that. But some people look at that and they say, oh, gosh, maybe, you know, if we were nicer to them, they would understand that Milwaukee is the economic engine that is running the state, where most of the revenue that funds local governments across the state, funds the state, is coming from Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin. But they do not. They have this punishment mentality where they look for things that are wrong. And, of course, there are things, you know, in any community. And in a large community, you're going to have those problems be larger. But their reaction is to say, instead of fixing it, is to punish, to keep punishing and keep punishing. And so we send more money to the state and get less back. And on top of that, we do not have the ability to produce our own revenue by either, you know, raising an income tax or raising a sales tax. Like just about every other major community in the country can figure things out for themselves. We are completely restrained. And on top of that, they refuse to allow us to be able to raise revenue. So, you know, there's hope. There's hope. I mean, for gosh sakes, Milwaukee and some Milwaukee leaders are letting them have their national convention here next year as a sign of goodwill. I personally, I don't think that it'll work. I don't think allowing a major speaking spot and for them to point at Milwaukee as saying, ah, yes, here's the problem, we need to punish them, is going to be helpful for us. But, you know, we'll find out in the next month or two if Republicans are going to allow for us to move forward with the sales tax or if they're going to block us.
Senator Larson, I heard this come out of the mouth of Robin Voss and other conservative talk show hosts who he follows, say that Milwaukee, we can't give them additional money because they don't know what to do with it. Well, maybe if they do away with the trolley first, stipulations that, right, that then we will give them some additional dollars, but we don't believe that they know what to do with money. Who in the world are these people?
Right.
And what gives them the right? And what gives them the right to say to those of us who live in the city and Milwaukee County, who are the taxpayers, that the people we elect don't know what to do with money, so therefore we're going to punish all of them? I mean, come on, man. That's blatant.
Yeah.
That's blatant.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's a rhetorical question, but you're asking who he is. Robin Voss, if he wants to talk about a stewardship of public dollars, this is a guy that was the co-author of the Foxconn napkin deal that would have given away $10 billion to hucksters who never had intentions of putting anything here, and still haven't, right, to a large degree. And $10 billion hijacked the budget, refused to move it forward until this happened, and frankly bypassed all of our local businesses and giving them funds to grow. This is a guy who also just finished giving away $1 million to Michael Gableman to chase ghosts in this Trump lie fueled so-called investigation.
So, Senator Larson,
where they produced a shred of evidence.
I got to get you to hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 on the line. State Senator Chris Larson. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey. You must be forsaken, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can show.
At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. And so, Senator Larson, you have been at this now, 6 years, 8 years?
12
years. Oh, man. And you took. And you,
very kind.
So
let me, I mean,
do you get frustrated because it's you guys, barring some miracle, you're going to remain in the minority. Now we often hear people say that, you know, you've got to find a way to work with these people. And I know you try, but do you ever get frustrated?
Of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that there is always hope, right? And you have to, no matter how small the sliver may be, you have to hold on to that, right?
Right.
And we have achieved things, right? I think of the fact that you know, Governor Evers was elected 4 years ago, of being able to have a Democratic governor there, and the difference that has made over the last 4 years,
no
right,
question.
Through the pandemic.
No question.
I just think of, like, how different things would have been early
if Scott Walker had been
in charge. Exactly. Somebody who turned away close to $1 billion because he didn't like trains and sent away this federal money. Somebody who has continued to turn away Medicaid funds that would help people get access to life-saving health care and would have benefited Wisconsin to the tune of over $1 billion again in money saved. And then we're still spending more for less coverage. In all of that, right, of being able to have Evers there as governor, Democratic governor, to give funds to businesses to stay afloat, to be able to help individuals through this as best as we could through testing and through, allocating resources. And, of course, making sure that we got funds to schools that passed through from the Fed. So that's a huge victory. But, frankly, being able to tilt the map in a fairer direction, that can happen. We came close a year ago. Now it comes down to who is going to hold the Supreme Court.
Right.
So, you know, if folks haven't already, marking their calendars for April 4th is going to be crucial, because that is a position. Whoever wins this seat is going to be deciding the future of whether we can continue to have Republicans gerrymander the state in such a rigged way where they, even though, you know, top of the ticket's 50-50, they end up tilting it so they get two-thirds, right? Two-thirds of the vote in the legislature, which, frankly, it's not a democracy. It's not functional. And what they're using with that power is to just give tax breaks to rich people and to criminalize what is acceptable in other states, right? And so that's what they're doing. This is what it comes down to. And frankly, we haven't talked about it, but that includes the ability of women to choose their own reproductive freedom. They are holding that hostage, and that'll be decided by the state Supreme Court with whoever wins this seat. There's a lot at stake. Hope is always right around the corner.
Well, the only thing I would say, Senator Larson, is it begins February 21st, because with the primary, we've got to get people out to vote because this is a nonpartisan, and the top two vote getters, you've got two progressives and two Republicans and two conservatives. And if we don't get out and vote in the primary, the worst case scenario is that two conservatives wind up and all bets are off.
That's right. Yeah, that would be devastating. So, yeah, even if folks cannot decide between Everett Mitchell and Janet Protasiewicz, you've got to go vote for one of them.
Yes.
You know, to make sure that they do get through. So that's I've not endorsed. I like them both. I know them both. I think they do. They would both be fantastic in there on the Supreme Court. And, you know, the difference is you've got folks who praise Clarence Thomas, you know, somebody who's been awful for democracy. And you have somebody who, you know, they would vote the wrong way in continuing to take us back 50 years and women to be able to have reproductive freedom over whether they're going to have an abortion or not. This is what's at stake in this election, there will be, the nation's eyes will be turning to Wisconsin, But it is, like you said, it's a nonpartisan race in the middle of February when not a lot of people might be moving to the polls. So even if people think, oh, gosh, we don't know what the weather's going to be. You might be out of town. If you're lucky, on spring break on one of these days. People can request absentee ballots now, right?
Senator Larson, let's do this. Hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom.
First, I just want to say you're one of my favorite senators, actually, in the whole country. So I just want to let you know that. I also believe that if it wasn't for money and politics, you'd be the governor right now. So I wanted to say that. I have two other points. One is just remember, just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't mean that she'll necessarily choose to have an abortion. It means that it's about choice, and government should not choose for a woman what to do, whether it is to have a child or not have a child. So a lot of times we get into this pro-abortion thing, and I don't think that's what it is. I think it's pro a woman's right to choose or pro the government's right to choose. And my last point is, how is it as a senator, a good guy like yourself, I'm sure you got people coming to you left and right that are offering you big money to, you know, for campaigns and all that kind of stuff. How is it, because you guys got to play in the system that unfortunately was made, especially with Citizens United. What is that like, and why is it that more politicians don't speak out about the number of lobbyists that are coming after them, the number of people that are big donors coming after them, and really start doing the veil and showing what this system is really about? Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Tom. All right. Senator Larson.
Hey, Pat, it's always good to hear from Tom. And, we need you back in Wisconsin voting, man.
Yes.
And I would say, like, I think there's there are a lot of good people who are in office and who are running for office, and it becomes incredibly tough to be able to try to win seats, you know, considering the vast amount of money that is pumped into the system. And this is not, in many of these cases, they're looking for a specific outcome. They're basically buying these tax cuts, right? We saw it with Diane Hendricks and the E-lines buying the U.S. Senate seat because Ron Johnson wrote them into the bill so that they would benefit, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. So it was no big deal for them to spend $20 million to try and keep Ron Johnson in office. So that continues to happen. It's good to make sure that you have good people who are going to understand why they're in it. There's always going to be people who are willing to write checks. You don't want to have somebody in there who's willing to just listen to them, because it becomes very, very easy to forget where you came from. And I've seen it happen, unfortunately, with a lot of people. So you got to do that, and frankly, the role of the constituency is to make sure that people are doing that. If you see your person swaying or shifting away, get somebody. Think about voting for somebody else. Think about holding them accountable by having somebody else run for that seat. And we've seen that happen, frankly, maybe not so often in the last few years, but we've seen that happen over and over. As long as we have a functional democracy, as much as it may not be most times, that we're going to continue to have new people coming into the system who, if they do not see their politics reflected, if they do not see their values reflected in their elected officials, they are going to work like heck to change that. And that's going to continue to happen every cycle.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Chris, and thanks for having Chris on there. My question to him is, what if you guys start just standing up to these people and say, look, half of them shouldn't even be in office because they broke their oath of office? Ron Johnson, you just mentioned him. He has no integrity or honesty or validity even being there. A Robin Voss, same thing. These people have taken their oath of office, voided it, and they're still get an audience. I think, it just seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, I'd push to censor these people because of what they've done. They won't work with you. They'll never work with you. To think that we could find a way to work with those people, it's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean all Republicans and all senators and all congressmen. It's many of them. The ones that want to work will work. These other guys will stonewall, lie, deceive, misrepresent. It seems to me, maybe I'm too old, but it just seems to me, you got to call them out. What do you think, Chris? I'll hang up.
Thank you, Bill, as always.
So good to hear from you. I wish that that were the way that it would work, right? That there is going to be some almost like a parental figure or authority figure to come in and you know. I just think of, like, my kids, you know, if they're having a sleepover and they're up way too late, you know, he turns on the lights and say, okay, guys, it's time to go to bed, or, you know, time to get in line. Unfortunately, we are the ones in charge of our system of government. There is no guarantee that we have a democracy, and in fact, in Wisconsin, we really don't. And so the only people who can hold them accountable and say, you know, to censor them or censure them, you don't have the ability to do that if you don't have a majority. You can't get a majority when it's gerrymandered, and you can't get it ungerrymandered when you have a court that says that's fine to do that. And so to change that, it takes piece by piece to try to whittle our way back to a democracy. You know, the way to do that is make sure that more and more people in the public understand what's going on, what's at stake, and get out and vote on that issue alone. Regardless of way they, you know, they might get tricked with some of these ads scared into, you know, rushing out and voting for somebody who they think, oh yeah, this person's going to be, you know, going to lock up those bad guys who are roving down the street, you know, with bike chains and switchblades, you know, to get them to realize, actually, no, these people are robbing you blind, giving tax breaks to the rich, defunding our schools, defunding local government. And the only way that it's going to change is by us voting them out, because they're not reflective of our democracy. That's all we can do. You know, they have proven themselves in Wisconsin for a decade now to not respond to the public demands. They only respond to the elections.
You know, Senator Larson, Bill from Oconomowoc, and I. Been around for so long, we remember when they used to say across this nation that Wisconsin had clean government. I remember that constantly. It was the one thing we had going for us, is we had clean government. But that seems like, man, so long ago. So what do you anticipate? The only saving grace, as you stated, is the governor, and the fact that when they gave the governor all of that power, it was directed and changed for Scott Walker. They never once ever thought that was going to come back to haunt them, but thankfully they weren't able to understand, and they gave a lot of power to our governor. Can you imagine where we'd be, man? I mean, really, people have to understand. It's only through them and their short-sightedness that Governor Evers can be as effective as he is.
Well, just to be clear, they did try to roll that back, too.
I know, right? They did try.
It was just a little over 4 years ago, in the middle of winter, right after Walker lost and Evers won by just a little over a percentage point, and they decided, you know, coincidentally, as they like to pretend, this is a good time. Maybe we should roll back some of the powers of the governor and have this over, you know, give ourselves new oversight. over some of their rulemaking and other things that are happening there. So they did try to roll back a bunch of it, but they didn't roll it back entirely because they didn't have the power to do it. But they did it through rulemaking, right? And you know, if folks are paying attention, they would know that the first act that they did this cycle, that this, as soon as we were in session and had power again, the legislature's acting, the first action they took was to repeal the ban on conversion therapy on marriage counselors in Wisconsin and other counselors in Wisconsin. That was the first action. They put forward a rule that says that you cannot ban this practice, which is akin to torture, right? People who may not know what conversion therapy is, this is where you sit a person down, usually a young person, and try and convince them that they have a different sexual orientation than what they do, and use various tactics, in some cases using electricity and other things to try and get them to live a way of life that is different from what they are already. And this has been banned by psychologists. It's been banned in 22 states. It's been banned in 11 different jurisdictions within the state of Wisconsin. But that was the first thing. So they did change the rules so that they would have oversight. And just thinking about that, right, like of the number of problems that we have, like the huge wealth inequality, you know, the problems that kids are having. And this is what they decided to use that power for. You know, so even in places where they were able to eke this power and scratch it back from the governor, this is what they're using it for these nefarious purposes.
You know, Senator Larson, I thought, and that's why it's so good to have you on, and I always say it, but we got to squeeze you in more. I thought that, you know, when the new year started, that the legislature was going to be back in business and that you guys were really in active and going through and dealing with all these things, and you tell me that you've only been in session once.
Yeah, only been in session once.
Wow,
and it was,
man.
So what's the
explanation now for not being in session?
They don't have one. They don't have one. They really don't. I mean, there's the level of problems and level of things that we have. And frankly, the $7.1 billion surplus could have been spent at any point, but yes, it required an agreement between Republicans having to compromise with Democrats. And they are just refusing to do that, right? This is where they come out with this so-called flat tax, right? Which would 81% of the benefit would go to people who are making over $1 million. So just basically taking this extra money and just flushing it down the toilet and giving it to rich folks who do not need it.
Right.
And it would cost the state $5 billion a year. So it actually costs more than the entire surplus that we have right now just to give their friends a big tax break. There is no excuse for not being in. You know, open a newspaper, you know, go online, look at any of the problems that we are facing as a state. And we have the ability to be able to solve them. And I think Earl, you know, for the last decade, we've been hearing over and over, oh gosh, well, we can't have public the rights of public employees to negotiate for better wages because we don't have money. We can't give teachers a raise or shrink class sizes to a point where you can actually have a focus on students because we don't have the money, right? We can't afford to be able to have fully staffed municipal units of government to make sure that people are actually plowing streets on time because we don't have the money. They can't say that anymore.
It's
$7 billion.
You know,
this is the time where you could go back and say, let's fix it all. And they're refusing.
They're saying, well, we've got all of this, these resources, because of the conservatives' policies. So we've been able to save all this money to prove that the taxes are too high. And so we want to cut the tax. And I'm like, man, you know, when Scott Walker was the governor and we had surpluses, I remember when there were these surpluses and he turned around and gave them back. Was it he or was it Tommy Thompson? I can't remember. But they
both of them did.
Yeah, but they gave.
Pretty unoriginal.
They gave me back $200. And I was. and I'm supposed to celebrate getting $200 back, and the next year we were back in deficit.
Right.
I mean, politics. Yeah.
And they say, oh, we don't have money for school kids, or
yes.
the kids at schools, unfortunately. Yeah, no, people are figuring this stuff out. They have the same trick that they try and do every time. And what I think is really funny is, you echoed the statement about them saying, oh, yes, this was our policies that did this. You know how many other states have a surplus right now? All of them.
I know.
All of them. Because the recovery, the Joe Biden recovery is bigger than they ever thought imaginable. But sure, pat yourselves on the back. You did such a good job. All 49 other states did well because of what you did here. Okay, sure.
Hang on, Senator Larson. We got to go to a break, man. It's always great talking to you, my friend. 844-967-2789. State Senator Chris Larson's on the line. We'll be right back. On the line, State Senator Chris Larson. Senator Larson, if you had a crystal ball and you were able to look inside that crystal ball and predict what would be happening, and what you'd get accomplished and done during this session, are you optimistic that we'll be able to see some things happen, or do you think we're going to get more of the same throughout this entire session?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I wish I did have that crystal ball. I think that there is a
what did it say? History is the best teacher? But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think there is actually, as much as there is obviously dysfunction right now in D.C., where, you know, Kevin McCarthy is dealing with his caucus and what's going on there. Here in Wisconsin, there is the prospect of hope, and I think it has a lot to do with because we have this surplus and because, you know, some of the louder voices have kind of been neutralized. But really, it depends, and this is an honest answer, it depends on how much Republicans are going to feel like they need to listen to Robin Voss, right? Robin Voss is, you know, for those who might not know, he's the Speaker of the Assembly. He's been the Speaker for a long time. And he is the not just the chief the holder of the highest office in the Assembly, he's the holder of the biggest grudges in the Republican Party.
Yeah, that he is.
And so he is just holding on to things from two decades now. And as much as a lot of people, we have, I think, one of the largest freshman classes in a long time, and there is a hope of, like, look, there's some issues people want to work on to be able to help with, you know, rural needs, to be able to help with our community farmers, family farmers, and be able to deal with expanding broadband across the state, to be able to listen to their schools, where every school in the state is struggling. And actually do something for them, or to be able to address technology and the fact that it's very much unchecked. Tackle drunk driving, something I've been working on for my entire career. All of these issues that should not seem partisan, it's a question of if we're going to actually make advances on any of these. And it has to do with if Robin Voss is going to allow these things to move forward, or if he's just going to stick with the old grudge matches that are a decade plus old, right? And that's really going to be the hinge point. And I think that a lot of people are watching to see if there is going to be an independence within the Republicans, the new Republicans who actually want to try and get something done for Wisconsin, or if they're just going to continue with these old grudge matches from decades ago, right? If they just move to the floor, I think that there are a number of bills that would just pass Medicaid expansion, right, which would grant health care access to thousands of our neighbors across the state, and it would save the state millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, that's something that's just a natural we should do, but we're one of the last states in the country to do it just because Scott Walker decided it was going to be partisan, you know, and all the other different issues that we talked about. And granted, you know, some of the bigger partisan ones we won't get an agreement on, but, man, you know, now it's been 5 years of a grudge match of them refusing to allow Governor Evers to be able to advance any of the Democratic priorities. Now we're just waiting to see if they're going to continue to do that, if that's going to continue for another 4 years. And frankly, the biggest, the people who lose the most in that are the people of Wisconsin.
You know, so Senator Larson.
Hopefully they break free. Yeah.
I don't think that they understand here or in Washington that the more they do these things, the more they are losing American people who give up on government. They don't understand that that's what's taking place, and it's not a positive thing when the citizens give up on government.
Yeah.
And yet this is it's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's you say the word government, and I think it's because we have a democracy. It's not that they're giving up on government. They're giving up on
the
democracy.
Process,
they're giving up and say, yeah, exactly. They say, well, it's not working for me. I'm just going to check out or say, this is not solving the major problems that it needs to solve, and they just get frustrated. And frankly, the really, really horrible and the really horrible and cynical thing about it is the more that that happens, the happier they are, because that's the more that they win, because they think, oh well, good. The more people who tune out, the better off we are, right? I mean, shoot, Bob Spindell. So Bob Spindell is this guy who's the chair of the Republican Party for Milwaukee County. He is the appointee to the Wisconsin Elections Board, or sorry, Wisconsin Elections Commission. And he's the guy who just a few weeks ago was bragging openly about how he suppressed black votes in the city of Milwaukee. And so it was like, one of the main objectives was, we were trying to convince them to vote our way. But more than anything, they were hoping to try and get people to say, well, I'm not going to vote. I'm just going to stay out. And he was bragging about this, and he did it repeatedly as a way to say, look, we won. We were able to stop these people because we just confused them. And it is abhorrent. That is their strategy, to get people to give up on our democracy. Everyone should be able to vote. Everyone should be able to vote. You know, you're not always going to agree on every single issue, but if you're going to have a functioning democracy, you want to increase that. It's a very cynical, cynical strategy to try and say, you know what, let's stop people from participating in voting. Let's stop people participating by contacting their representatives. And the more that people give up, I want people to make sure to take a second pause and think, why do they want to give up? And is that actually giving them exactly what they want? Because in most cases, it is.
So, Senator Larson, man, I can't believe that we're out of time. But I'm going to contact you. We got to set something up a little more regularly than what this has been. And that's on me. I'll be reaching out to you immediately and see what we can do to make this happen more often.
I love it. Good being on. Good catching up with you, Earl.
All right, as always. State Senator Chris Larson, thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. As always, thank all of you who have been listening. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Somebody this,